This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody, Lindsay Hine here. Thanks for tuning in to my podcast. Today, my guest is Dr. Amy Bantham. She's the CEO and founder of Move to Live More. Move to Live More has a mission to bring healthcare, health and fitness, and communities together to get people active and healthy. Dr. Amy has a book called Move to Live More, which is about trying to help us keep our kids active, something I am personally very passionate about. The more we move, the better we feel. Amy has a podcast called Move to Live More, where she interviews guests about this topic. And in this episode, we talk about ways to encourage families to get their kids moving more and incorporate being active into just everyday simple life without overthinking it. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please leave us a quick rating and review so that potential new listeners can find us and share it with your friends on social media. And if you are looking for the best sleep ever, check out Lagoon Pillows. They are my favorite pillow. They are a supporter of the Sandy Boy Productions podcast network. And since sleeping on Lagoon Pillows, I will never go back because they are the most comfortable and they help me get the best sleep ever. I'm not kidding. Go check it out. They are the best. You fill out a 2-minute sleep survey and it helps you, lines you up with a pillow that is perfect for your needs. Just go to lagoonsleep.com/Lindsay and use the code Lindsay, L-A-N-D-S-E-Y for 15% off your order. All right, friends, please enjoy my conversation with Dr. Amy Bantham. Well, hey, everybody. I am excited to welcome Amy Bantham to the podcast today. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Lindsay, thank you so much for hosting me.
Oh, man. We've got a topic that I'm probably not as passionate as you, but I am very passionate about moving our bodies and getting our kids to move their bodies. So when I heard about your book and your business, I was super excited.
Oh, well, I love talking with people who share this passion. So I'm really excited for our conversation.
Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah. So my backstory is originally how I got involved with movement is as a fitness professional. I taught group exercise classes when I was a student. I taught them during my lunch hour when I was a management consultant. And ultimately, I realized that it was what I was doing during lunch, which was what I loved, and what I was doing the rest of the day was something that I didn't love. And so I moved into working in the health and fitness sector full time. I joined the staff of the Health and Fitness Association, and I did health promotion and health policy and advocacy work for them for over 10 years. And I realized that I wanted to do more than get fit people fitter, which was essentially the audience I was working with. I really wanted to expand access to physical activity among people with disease and disability. And I got very passionate about getting kids moving, which I know we will get to when we talk about my book. And so I ended up going back to school and I got my Doctor of Public Health. And a lot of my research was focused on getting physicians and healthcare providers to talk to their patients about physical activity. And a lot of it was about bringing physical activity out into the communities to get people to meet people where they are and to get people moving in their communities. So very community oriented. So that's a little bit of my backstory. I started Move to Live More in January 2020, which was kind of an interesting time to start a business. And I really started because I didn't see that there was really anyone out there who was trying to connect the three sectors I was trying to connect, which is the healthcare sector, the health and fitness sector, and the community sector, to get people moving, to get people moving for better physical health and mental health. And so that was me trying to connect the dots, and I've been at it ever since.
Wow. So in like getting kids active, I think in America, we default to, I'm going to sign my kids up for more activities. Yes. I'm going to do more organized sports. And I have four kids. And so I've always been like, we are not over scheduling. We're not doing 9 sports at a time. We just mentally, emotionally, physically, we can't do that with 4 kids. It's too much. And financially, let's be honest.
Right.
And so, gosh, there's a lot of things that I haven't done well in parenting. But one thing I'm really proud of is the unorganized sports that we play in our yard all the time. I think people don't know how to facilitate it or get it going or how to motivate their kids to do it, though. What is your advice with that?
Yeah, it's a really good point. Really, the family unit is at the center. And I acknowledge that there are lots of different touch points in a kid's life where we can get kids moving. So I talk about before and after school, we can walk with them, we can bike with them, we can scooter with them to school. I talk about places where we don't have as much control, which is at school. But again, as parents, we could band together, we can advocate for more movement in the classroom, we can advocate for more recess, we can advocate for more PE. But what can we as a family, how can we move together? To your point about the unstructured, unorganized play that takes place in a yard or our family, we live in a very urban environment. We don't have a yard, but we have a park just up the way. So what can we do? So we find moments to take a family walk after dinner. And I talk in the book about going over to a fish pond nearby. So we walk over and then we play at the fish pond and walk back. I talked about getting a few pieces of equipment together and going to the park and doing an Olympic sporting event where each kid gets to come up with an idea. Are we playing tag? Are we playing frisbee? Are we kicking a ball? Are we doing red light, green light with the ball or anything, really? And I think it's important to empower the kids to come up with ideas because, to be honest, and I credit my kids, all the good ideas in the books about games come straight from my kids and their friends. They can be really creative, and I tried to put as much as possible in there about games that they play with their peers. They had my daughters, I don't have 4 kids, I have 3 kids. My daughters who were, I'd say they were 9, 10 during the pandemic. And so we formed a outdoor recess pod with 2 friends, and every day they would go to the park together. And they would have an hour together. We did it almost like a class, 1 hour, and they would make up very active games and would just run around. And so I borrowed a lot of those games for the book.
Oh, that's so good. How do you view like organized sports and all this?
I think organized sports are one important way to get kids moving. I talked about the touch points throughout the day. I think organized sports have a role to play evenings, weekends. I, like you, try not to have my kids get all their movement from organized sports. I'm a one per customer type person. You get to pick one activity per season. Yeah. And because we spend a lot of time getting them to and from activities and sitting in the car. And but I do think, I think organized sports play a role, but they are not the only role. I think every single kid should have the opportunity to view themselves as an athlete, however they define athlete. And maybe an athlete is someone who's tossing a ball with their parent on the back lawn or making up an active, cooperative game on the playgrounds. So I think sports are important. I think it's really important to keep kids in sports. I think it's important to expand access to sports. I think it's particularly important to keep girls in sports because a lot of girls drop out of sports at age 9. But I also want to acknowledge the fact that it's important to match kids with a sport they love. So even though my girls didn't stay in soccer, one's now doing lacrosse and one's now doing ultimate frisbee. So there is a role for really listening to our kids about what they find fun and what they enjoy and trying to find that fit. And so for them, maybe it wasn't soccer. Maybe they'll go back to soccer, but for now they found other movement activities that they really enjoy.
Yeah, we can be such good advocates for our kids in sports. It's so hard because it's like a lot of luck of the draw with what kind of coaches you get, you know?
Yes, it is. And a lot of it, my husband coached them for years. And so he's great, but it was also hard because it was like, well, I'm not going to listen to dad. Yeah. He may be wearing his coach hat, but I'm not going to listen to him. So that is challenging as well. And I have such respect for volunteer coaches. I mean, we are all so busy. Parents yeah. are so busy. And yet there are some who sort of lean in and step up and say, I'm not only going to coach my kid, but I'm going to coach 10 or 12 others as well. And I'm going to put in this time. And I do appreciate it. But I do think there's a really important role for positive coaching, for building kids up instead of breaking them down, for focusing on the whole child development. And that's how I structured the entire book. I took a whole child health approach to the book, really thinking about how physical health intersects with mental health, intersects with academic development and performance and focus and concentration. And the role that we, whether we're playing a parent role or a coach role or a teacher role, can really think about how we can get kids moving in a way that's fun, in a way that builds up teamwork and leadership and confidence and helps them manage risk and feel good about themselves. And that's really, I get tired of standing on the sidelines and listening to coaches or parents who are tearing kids down or critiquing kids as they're doing sports. To me, it's all about building our kids up and through movement.
Talk about parents on the sidelines too at games. Like, I think my biggest pet peeve is sitting at a game and listening to parents yell at a ref.
Yes. They wonder why there's a ref shortage because, parents feeling emboldened to critique kids in a really public way. The number one reason we as parents want our kids to do sports is for fun. And then I think there's, and I am guilty of this myself, really thinking about ways that we as parents are making it not fun for our kids with our unsolicited critiques and advice or the ability. And I mentioned this in the book, some of the best advice I ever got from someone who was a volunteer coach for years and who really encouraged me. And I say this to my kids, did you have fun? Mm-hmm. I had fun watching you play today. Boom. End of story.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
I usually ask my kids, did you have fun? And I also throw in, did you work hard?
I like hard work. I mean, I do think there is an important piece, which is if you're talking about teamwork and leadership and building resilience, there's someone who wins and there's someone who loses, and being able to navigate loss, but also to recognize, okay, I could have worked harder, or maybe I could have done X, Y, Z, and having that be sort of an ongoing learning experience.
All right, friends, this episode of the podcast is supported by Prevenex, my go-to for protein powder, muscle health, joint health. All the vitamins and supplements that you need are going to be at Prevenex.com. They have the highest quality ingredients, clinically effective, supplements that promote health and longevity. And what I'm raving about is their muscle health. If you follow me on Instagram, you might see that I've been lifting quite a bit. My goal is 3 days a week of lifting, still running around 5 days a week. And the Muscle Health Plus combines clinically effective doses of creatine monohydrate. If you're taking creatine, you want that monohydrate is the kind that you want. And other essential amino acids. It combines all these amazing ingredients for comprehensive muscle health. And as you age, you know, you hit 30, you hit 40, you hit 50, your muscles break down a certain percentage every decade. And it's so important to fight against that so you can stay strong as you age. This is something I'm taking really importantly, is that a word? I'm taking it really seriously. You know, I just hit 40 and this is a big deal to me. So I am focused on the strength training and also taking the muscle health and doing anything complementary that will help me stay strong and help with that muscle growth and protect against the muscle breakdown. So good news, if you have already used my code ANOTHER with Prevenex, you can use the code LINDSEYSTRENGTH, LINDSEY strength, to get 15% off your order. As long as you have muscle health in the cart, you can put anything else in there and you can still get that discount using the code LINDSEYSTRENGTH. You can also use the code ANOTHER if you've never purchased from Prevenex using my code before. That'll still work for 15% off as well. I highly recommend their products. I take their multivitamin. My kids take their vitamins. I really trust the work they're doing and the ingredients that they put in the products. So go to Prevenex.com and check it out. Code LINDSEYSTRENGTH or ANOTHER. All right, friends, back to the show. And how do you talk to kids about it in a way that is positive? And, you know, we always want to be careful, like how we speak about bodies and things like that to our kids. And so, like, what do you think the best way to communicate to your kids why it's important to be physically active?
Yeah, I talk in the book a lot about this because my chapter on obesity, my tip are we're not talking about weight loss here. Yeah. We're not talking about weight at all. We're talking about movement for fun and for feeling strong and for feeling healthy. And that is a theme throughout the entire book. We're not talking about physical fitness or athletic performance. We're talking about movement for strong minds, strong bodies, and really just constantly using that language. And just like we're not on the sidelines, like critiquing every play, we're talking about fun after the game. And that's why I talk in my book about, like, when my kids are like, hey, want to play tag? And I'm kind of like, not really, but sort of opening myself up to being like, yeah, let's play tag. Or, you know, hey, you know, like, do you want to jump up and down and dance? And I'm like, well, you know, maybe not right here. And just sort of opening myself up to being like, yeah, let's do that.
I struggle with that because I'm a runner and I lift weights and I like to work out. But a lot of times I'm like, don't want to play the games with my kids and stuff like that. But then I'm like, oh, that's going to be what they remember. And, you know, you want your message to be that moving your body is a gift and it should be a way of life. So I'm not the greatest at participating in that with them. And oftentimes I'm like, Lindsay, get up, go throw the football.
Right. But it's interesting because I tried to strike this balance in the book of not, you know, sort of being the finger wag, like, you should put your phone down and go play with your kids, or you should go sign them up for more activities, because we don't need that. We have enough guilt and self-recrimination as parents anyway. And I joke, like, no one wants to see a middle-aged woman, like, chasing their kid down the street. But that being said, they invited me, and so I try to be open to it. So when my kids did the recess pod during the pandemic, we took turns as parents, sort of watching, overseeing them. And I struck a deal. About half the time, I would join in their games. Aww. And half the time, I would be under a tree desperately trying to catch up on work. But I thought, like, that seemed about right. Because it was also at an age where I was really trying to encourage them to have more autonomy, be more independent, be with peers. They were shut off from peers. My kids were virtual school for a year, over 13 months. And so trying to encourage them to reconnect with peers without a parent present. So again, it's so hard to balance, but it is a little bit about the balance. And so I'll say yes half the time. How's that?
I like that. I know. My husband and I are always talking about this. We're like, I don't feel like we wanted to hang out with our parents or be around our parents nearly as much as our kids want to these days. And like, sometimes I'm like, is there this like unrealistic expectation these days that like we should be every single thing for our kids?
I always enjoy reading statistics about how working mothers today spend as much time on the floor playing with their kids as full-time stay-at-home moms did however many decades ago. I do think we put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves to constantly be engaged and involved and be at every event, to be on the floor. I know I absolutely have felt that at every stage. I think that was amplified during the pandemic when there was so much together time. There was really never a time when we weren't together. And I think that we as parents, we're the number one role models for our kids for physical activity when they're younger. But as they get older, the number one influence on their activity levels becomes their peers. So it is important for us to foster this movement motivation within our kids, but also they build social circles where they're active together. That is important. It cannot all be us.
No, that's so true. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's both, right? Like I don't want that pressure but I also don't want to parent like people parented in the 80s. Like I want to do it the way I'm doing it, but I don't want the pressure that I feel. And also I just think it's so amplified, like how fleeting it is. Like these kids are going to be here and grown up in such a short period of time. So you feel this pressure to like pack it all in so you don't waste a second.
Cannot waste a second. It's someone told me this the other day. Once kids leave home, we get 365 days like quality time with them for the rest of our lives. And I was like, that feels so short. So there is that pressure, like, oh, I have to experience every moment now.
Yeah. It's I guess that statistic too just depends on like if your kids end up living close to home or not. But I want to take that pressure off. I always say like I don't need a mom of older kids to tell me how fast it goes. I've known that. I know that now. I'm going to know that in 10 years. And I hope to not be the mom that tells the mom of little ones. It goes so fast. Enjoy it now. We know. It does.
I laugh. I always laugh because when my twins were born, my son was 2.5. So we had 3 kids under 3. And I would see people like on the girls, my twins' first birthday. And people are like, gosh, that went so fast. And I'm like, did it for you? I'm so glad because it was really hard. And there's a reason you haven't seen me for about a year.
Nothing about that was fast. I know. I think back, my oldest is 12. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes I do get the feeling like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? That went so fast. But then I do think back to when I was a brand new mom and my first kid, and I'm like, no, that seems like ages ago. Like that seems like a different lifetime. So it's both, really.
It is.
So my first grader, this is going to blow your mind. So they go to school at 9, school day starts at 9:15. He has recess at 2:30.
Ugh.
For the first time of the entire day. And he's having some behavior problems, which, you know, we got to work on some things. But I can guarantee you the fact that he's not having a recess time until 2:30 is impacting his behavior.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm a research and I do focus groups with stakeholders in schools. So from the superintendent, principal, to classroom teachers, to PE teachers, health educators. And I've been trying to gather research and evidence that shows that if you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get the kids outdoors, preferably, or even just moving in the classroom, you'll have, it's like an investment of 5-10 minutes. You get like 45 minutes uninterrupted classroom teaching time where you don't have to focus on managing behavior and trying to frame that in a way that really resonates, because administrators are feeling this huge time crunch to make up for the learning loss. And so they're taking away the movement that would actually contribute to better learning. So it feels like we're in this cycle, this downward cycle.
I wonder how much autonomy, I guess it's probably school to school, teachers have. You know, like obviously the first grade recess time is just that time of day at this school. But I'm like, could the teacher take them out for a walk for 10 minutes? And I know that's a big to-do. I'm not slamming teachers. Like I know that getting everybody loaded up and walking down the hallway quietly and getting outside, like I know that's a big to-do. But I do think it would be more worthwhile, like a little bit less learning, a little bit more movement, so that there's more impact to the learning time. But I don't know if teachers can take that initiative and be like, my class is going outside for 10 minutes every morning.
Well, I talk about this solution in the book in one of the chapters. It's a turnkey program. It's called the Daily Mile, where kids walk as a class with their classroom teacher as they are. They don't change clothes, so they walk, run, jog, or roll around their school grounds for 10, 15 minutes, and then they come back and they are refreshed and they are ready to learn. And in some cases, one or two teachers does it, and in some cases, the entire school does it. And they find that it has incredible benefits for the kids. Physical fitness, it has incredible benefits for their mental health, and it has incredible benefits for their learning.
What's it called?
The Daily Mile.
Yeah, it's like, I think I'm always so sensitive to talking about like what the teachers do and stuff, because I'm not a teacher and I have so much respect for teachers, and they're severely underpaid and I want to support them so much. I'd also like to think if I was a teacher, I'd be all over that Daily Mile, you know?
I love talking to teachers who do the Daily Mile because they are such raving fans of it.
Is there a website for it?
Yeah. Yeah. The Daily. I work with the Daily Mile USA. You can just Google the Daily Mile USA. It's UK based, but it's in over 90 countries.
I mean, because this is the kind of advocacy that you were talking about at the beginning. Like you can advocate in your school system. And so that's the kind of thing that like bring it to the table. Maybe that's not something anybody's thinking about, you know?
Yeah. And that's how I've been a fitness professional for over 25 years, but I have been a physical activity advocate at the community level only for about 10. I got into it because my son had this like little like step counter, like this, he got it for his birthday and he would, you know, tromp off to school. He was very young. He would tromp off to school and he would come home and I'd look at it and I was like, you literally got like 3 steps at school. What are you doing? What are you doing at school? And as I mentioned, we live in a really urban area. So we don't have a cafeteria. We didn't have a cafeteria in that school. We didn't have a gym, so if they were going to move, they had to move outside, and it was very much, it was left up to individual teachers. And there were some who just, they thought it was too cold or too much of a hassle. And so they just weren't going out. So I became this squeaky wheel. And they're like, ah, here she comes again, talking about how her kids aren't moving enough. And so I was like, okay, it's not just my kids. So I did a couple things. One is I started to take them out of after school, and I started this Dr. B's activity hour where I would take them to a nearby park and we would do games together. But I also joined our district wellness committee. So I joined together with a lot of different stakeholders in the community who were really thinking about, okay, how do we get the kids moving more? So we spent three years where we got a policy passed that encouraged more outdoor movement, more outdoor recess, more outdoor activity throughout the day. And we got the policy passed, but then, you know, you get the policy passed and you have to implement it. But that was something that I could do, have more impact at a community level. It's not, like I said, with this book, I just thought, if I'm going through this, there have to be other parents who are going through this, who maybe aren't fitness professionals or who don't spend all their work time focused on physical activity. So maybe something I can share, or something that the 20 guests that I interviewed for the book, maybe something they can share will really resonate and will make a difference in these families' lives.
What do you want people to know about Move to Live More, the program, the business, and the book?
Yeah. So I want people to know that if they are worried about their kids' mental health, if they're worried about their kids spending too much time on their phones, if they're worried about their kids not just riding bikes around the neighborhood or meeting up with friends at parks, you are not alone. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of parents out there who are worried about this, and there are ways to try to address it. So that's why I have 50 tips in the book, 50 takeaways from 20 experts for ways to get whole families moving. And I tried to be really intentional about making the book rooted in research, but not a research book, and translating that research and making it relevant to people by talking about my own family, making it actionable by having tips. So you're not alone, and there's a path forward for getting whole families moving, and it for better health, for better mental health, for better physical health, and for better learning.
Mm. What is something professionally or personally that you would like to do that you have not done yet?
What would I like to do? Well, I have done it, but I haven't done it with my family. So I spent a lot of my life studying Japanese or living in Japan, and I've never taken my kids there. So we're going to take our kids there this summer so they can experience a part of the world that my husband and I each have experienced ourselves, and we'll experience it as a whole family. And we're going to do it in a really active way. We're going to backpack and hike and walk and make it a really active outdoor vacation.
Fun. I love that. Well, speaking of vacation, is there somewhere you have gone with your family that you recommend we check out?
Last summer, we went to Alaska, and we did a hiking, biking, and kayaking trip, which was amazing.
Wow. Do I ask the question, like, what part of Alaska?
Sure. So we started in Anchorage, but the majority of our time was on the Kenai Peninsula, K-E-N-A-I. I hope I pronounced it right.
Yeah.
Kenai.
So you did that in the summer. So, like, was it warm?
I wouldn't put it in the warm category. There was a day when all the kids, all the families who were on the trip, like, went swimming together, and I was like, nope.
Okay.
that is very cold looking. So
you went with multiple families. So, like, was this, like, friend group, or was it a planned expedition, or what?
It was a planned expedition. There were about 10 adults and 10 kids, and, all movement all the time. If I could do it, I would not be sitting at a desk. I would be outdoors moving all the time.
All the time. I know. Same. My husband sits at his desk. He can sit at his, I mean, he usually takes a break and work, like, runs an hour every day. But he, I mean, sometimes he gets up and starts working at 5:30, and minus that hour run, which is great, sometimes he works till like 7 p.m. and he just sits in front of that computer. And I'm like, I don't know how you focus for that long, for those many
That's
hours.
That's a lot of sitting.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy. What's the best most recent book you've read?
I was thinking about this. I have rediscovered libraries. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time buying books for my Kindle, and it's so funny because I actually got into it because I started working with a group that was delivering physical activity programs in libraries. And like, gosh, a library can be anything. And so I started going while my daughter was in class on the weekends. And I've been taking out these wonderful, light, fun books targeted to, I guess, for women. And I read a book called This Bird Has Flown, which is about a woman, I think she's in her 30s, but she had kind of it's written by, do you know the Bangles, the music group?
Yes.
It's written by someone who was in the Bangles. She was part of the Bangles. And her name's Susanna Hoffs. And the book is about this 30-year-old woman who was like a one-hit wonder in her 20s and hasn't had musical success since then. And it's really well done. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, love that. What is your last message to leave with our audience today?
Let's get our whole families moving. There are ways to do it, and let's do it in a fun way.
Dr. Amy Bantham, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for hosting me. I really enjoyed our time together.
All right, friends, thanks so much for being here today. Thank you, Dr. Amy, for coming on the podcast and joining us. Go to movetolivemore.com to learn more about Amy's mission. Learn more about this podcast and all the shows in our network at sandyboyproductions.com. I'd love to connect with you on social media. I'm LindsayHine626 on Instagram, and you can always email me, Lindsay@sandyboyproductions.com. Thanks for being here today, and we'll see you next week.